on the fact that the scripture is the mouthpiece of God, the Holy Spirit. The scripture is the mouthpiece of God, the Holy Spirit. Brother Mitchell, why do you deal with it like, why don't you just say God? Well, as you all know, or at least most of us know, that you have God the Father, eh? You have God the Son, Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary. That was his mission, to die, well, first to take up human form, to come, live, taught, died a cruel death for our sin. That's what the communion is about. That was Christ's mission, but the Holy Spirit's mission is primarily revealing. That's the primary mission of the Holy Spirit, to reveal to us what God wants us to know. So when I said that the scripture is the mouthpiece of God, the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is one of the persons in the Godhead. The Holy Spirit has been called and referred to as God. Look at these passages and the fact that when you and I deal with the scripture, we are dealing with the Holy Spirit speaking to us for God through the Bible. Look at the passage of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Another of your brothers turn to the book of Matthew chapter 22, verse 43. Another brother yet turn to Acts 4:25. We're on the point that the scripture is the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. It is in the scripture that the Holy Spirit speaks for God. Let us hear the passage of Hebrews 3:7.
Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith.
Who said it?
As the Holy Ghost saith.
What he said?
Today, if ye will hear his voice.
Everybody hear that? As the Holy, Brother Mitchell, I thought that belonged to Jesus Christ. Yes, you're right. Brother Mitchell, I thought that belonged to God the Father. Yes, you're right. But you know what? That was brought to us by the Holy Spirit. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit said, what did he say?
Today, if ye will hear his voice.
That's right. That is the Holy Spirit speaking. And that's what I meant when I said that the scripture is the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the other one, Matthew chapter 22, verse 43.
He saith unto them.
How then?
Doth David in the spirit call him Lord?
When David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, it was the Holy Spirit speaking in and through David. That was some 900 years before Jesus Christ. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou here on my right hand until I make thine enemy thy footstool. That was the Holy Spirit speaking through David. The scripture is the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 25.
Who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?
Who by the mouth of David, that is the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David. All these represent words of the Holy Spirit. Wait. God used the Holy Spirit as the revealer. That's the one of the main mission of the Holy Spirit, to bring to us God's message. Watch here now. We must not ignore what God has revealed to us through the Holy Spirit in Scripture, what God has revealed to us about Himself and about His will. Very important. Because what God has revealed to us in Scripture, that is what God wants us to know about Himself and His will. What God has revealed to us in Scripture about His will, that's what God wants us to know about His will. God does not want us to go about inventing our own will or inventing and following things that seems right to us. No doubt the Almighty God put it in the mind of the wise man, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God wants man to go by what He has revealed to us of Himself. May I? The Almighty God did not have it that we guess His plan of salvation. You know what running through my mind now is the wisdom of man. And man is wise. The whole business of internet technology. the many awesome things that are being benefited from today is that man has reached the stage in history where he learned to master the laws of physics, chemistry, and other areas of science that help them to understand these things. Is simply knowing the law. All these umpteen years we were living, we didn't know, scientists didn't know then about sound wave. You can speak here and the other man at the end of the world pick up the very moment you're speaking what you are saying. It's not man who makes those laws to make that possible. It's God who makes them. Man only understands them better. Well, the Almighty God has spiritual laws that He wants us to understand and live to please Him. Don't go guessing what God's will is. Listen. But before you listen to the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, remember the point is that God used the Holy Spirit to reveal His will to us. The Almighty God and the Holy Spirit employ human agents to both write what God wants written and to preach and teach what God wants taught. Listen, the Holy Spirit through Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through verse 13.
For what man knoweth?
What man knoweth?
The things of a man.
The things of a man.
Save the Spirit.
Save the spirit
of man which is in him.
Of man, wait, what man knoweth this? The things of a man, only the spirit of man that is in man know what is in man. Read on.
Even so, the things of God.
Okay, now he stepped on a different level now. He used man to illustrate. But then what he really wants to talk about is God. The things of God. That is the nature of God, the attributes of God, the will of God.
Knoweth no man.
Knoweth no man. Wait, it's not something you can just simply imagine or guess. The things of God knoweth no man. Read on.
But the Spirit of God.
But that's the Holy Spirit, you know. That is the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit know the things of God. Watch here now.
Now we have received.
Now we, there is referring to the apostles.
Not
now we have received.
Not the spirit of the world.
Not the spirit of the world.
But the spirit which is of God.
We receive, Paul is really saying, we receive the Holy Spirit, which comes from God. But he not finished with that. Read.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
You get the point? But wait, we are not through. God has some things for us. Brother Mitchell, is it money? Is it gold? Is it diamond? No, what God has for us is better than that. Notice, he just told the things of God. Things, you see, when we talk about things, the mind run to material things. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's going to tell you in the other verse. Read that verse where you have just read what verse?
12.
12. Read it again.
No, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God.
We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. He's talking about the Holy Spirit.
That we might know the things.
You see, that we might know. Wait. We're not going to guess it. We cannot imagine it. We cannot cipher it out. That we might know the things
that are freely given.
That is given to us freely of God. Now, tell us in verse 14 now, or 13, what he's talking about.
Which things?
Which things?
Also we speak.
The man is talking about the thing that they preach and teach. The man is talking about God's will. Which things also we
speak.
We what?
Speak.
Speak.
Not in the words.
We do not speak or preach it in words which man wisdom teach. But words which the Holy Spirit
teacheth.
Teacheth.
Comparing spiritual things.
Comparing spiritual things.
With spiritual.
With spiritual. Notice how he had said that we may know the things that are given to us by God. That's talk about God's will. That's exactly. When you take into consideration the context, verse 11, 12, and 13, you do not have to guess what the man is talking about. That God don't want us to go guessing what God wants us to do, to believe, how to worship, how to become Christian. No, God has revealed that. And when the Apostle Paul there in verse 11, 12 talk about that we may know the things that are given to us It's talking about the will of God. God wants us to know it. And therefore, the Almighty God used the Holy Spirit to reveal it to them. And the Almighty God used the Holy Spirit to inspire them and gave them direction to write it. Hence, we have it in the gospel. The scripture is, in fact, the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. Christianity is a religion of the book. I need to repeat that. Christianity is a religion of the book. The scripturally and the spiritually fertile seed is the Word of God. Remember, I'm on the point that the religion of Jesus Christ, the religion that you and I embrace as children of God, is a religion of the book. It's a revealed religion. It was not invented by man. That's the point Paul is making, you know. That God did not leave it up to man to sci-fi it out and to experiment and come up with some miss and hit until they hit it. No, it was revealed by the Spirit who knows the mind of God. So Christianity is in fact a religion of the book. The origin of Christianity is in the spiritually fertile seed, which is the Word of God. Watch here now. In the passage, you know, Luke chapter 11, chapter 8, verse 11. Let us hear that passage.
Now the parable is this. Mm-hmm. The seed is the Word of God.
That's all I want from that, brother. Everybody gets it? That is, this is a type of metaphor. It's a figure of speech where Christ is likening God's word to seed. And it is an appropriate metaphor because in the same way that a seed is planted and it can produce wondrous things, same way the Word of God, when it is planted in our hearts, in our minds, when it is believed and accepted and lived by, it can produce wondrous things. The seed is the Word of God. But do you know what? From the beginning, Satan has been hell-bent, literally hell-bent, bent in getting men and women to hell. And you know how he does this? To remove belief and faith in the Word of God from the hearts of men. From the beginning, that is Satan's prime way of getting men and women to disobey God, throwing doubt on the Word in their mind, throwing unbelief in reference to what the Bible teaches in their mind. I mean, from the beginning, Satan has been hell-bent in taking the word of God from the heart of men and women, throwing doubts on the word, or minimizing the authority of the word of God. Where you have sometimes, even for us Christians, we just treat God's word and the Bible like it's nothing. And many of us don't even realize how that little by little undermine our faith. Man first sin, and Satan first success was by attacking through doubt the word of God. Did you hear what I said? Sin first entered this world. Man first sin. And Satan's first great success was the word of God that he attacked. Threw doubt on it in the heart, in the mind of Adam and Eve. And ever since then, Satan has been using that trick. And you know how we start with us who claim we believe Christ and we are Christian. Satan starts a lot of things that we hear in preaching, we just brush it one side. We either think it doesn't apply to me. And you never dreamt that is Satan working on you. When you could be more faithful, you're not. If I tell you that God wants Christians to meet as regularly and as often as they can, because every time we meet to worship God, we bring glory to God's name. You'd brush that once and say, Brother Mitchell, when I come here once a week, that is enough. You're not speaking to Brother Mitchell, you're speaking to God. You see, if Satan can convince you and me that once a week is enough, have you ever wondered, suppose God start treating you like that? Like if God decides, look here, I'm going to provide only one meal for you for the week. And one drink of water. Water will be so scarce that you can only get one drink per week. Suppose God spin the table. But you see, Satan has worked on us and undermined the authority of God's word. Look, as I said in the beginning, look at Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 4. Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 4.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field.
He was subtle. That means Satan can get you when you don't even know that he's around the place. Subtle. You think he sees to be subtle? And now he's subtle. The serpent was more subtle than other beasts. Read, brother.
And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree.
Wait. As God said, you notice where the emphasis is? What God said. What God said. He's still working on us, Satan. With what God said, and a lot of times we don't even realize that it is Satan working on us. Because he is still subtle. As God said,
ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden.
That's directly the man, Satan, is directly undermining God's word, and he is still doing that. The business about the Bible contradicts itself, and the Bible is not inspired if Satan, well, not if he has Satan has succeeded. through the world in getting the atheists and the agnostics and the critics. Many of these are men and women who teach in universities and colleges. And when they get the young minds to influence them, you send your son or daughter to college, university, and before long they come back and began to ask you, "Mama, where you go to church for? Where you go to church for?" Because their professor has already undermined the word of God. That's Satan. He's still subtle. Hath God said, read, brother.
Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman said unto the serpent,
mm-hmm.
We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
But of the fruit of the tree.
May I? Sometimes when people bring foolishness to you, you don't get into argument with them. Truly. Over the years, many times I've said to members of the church, you know, somebody call you and they are gossiping. Are we there? Are they telling you something that somebody said about you? You know? A lot of time, brothers and sisters, common sense dictate that you say, Jane, I don't have any time right now. And if they are insisting, you hang up the phone on them. When people come with foolishness, gossip, mischief, if you can be nice, say, I'm a little busy now. But if you have to hang up your phone, hang it up. Eve should have hung up the phone and Satan. You did argue and try to reason with Satan. You're not going to win. Read on, brother.
But of the fruit of the tree, mm-hmm. which is in the midst of the garden,
uh-huh.
God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
What verse is that?
End of verse 3.
Huh?
End of verse 3.
Let me hear verse 4.
And the serpent said unto the woman,
He's not giving up, you know. He's not giving up. And poor Eve. It's just like, oh my God. When I was growing up, you know, as you know, country rural, you live a little distance from where the shop is, and my mother sent me shop. I was the oldest one at home. My sister had left home. In fact, she was living with my aunt in the same district. But my mother sent me shop. And on the way, you see, two or three friends playing cashew and marble. Now, my mother is there waiting on what she said. And once me see you play, because I was very playful, once you playing cashew and marble, I'm going to forget what my mother said. Oh, my God. Sometimes it's when time run off and I realize, and my mother didn't make jokes. My father was not a person who beat me. Sometimes once in every 4 years, he will give you a chastising. My mother, she will take up this spot and throw at you. But what a great woman she was. Thank God for her. Yes, well, you know what? God had spoken to Eve and told Eve what the facts are. You can eat this, eat that. Don't worry, go to that tree. No, while it might not be so wrong throwing that at Satan, since you know what God said, and Satan wants you to go against it, don't listen to him. to be there arguing with him. Notice he come back with something to Eve. Verse 4, brother.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
You see, that is completely the opposite of what God said. He's going to get now at Eve's pride. You see, our pride and our ego, you would be shocked what that has done against us. Not only as we deal with God, but as we deal with our fellow men. You know, some people cannot say, I am sorry. Some people cannot say, you know, I was wrong in that. Pride. Sometimes even in the home, sometimes even in marriage. Are we all there? That's what sometimes create more tension between wife and husband. They do not have the humility to say to one another, yes, I said that and I'm sorry, I was wrong. Pride. Where are we? We are still in the Garden of Eden with Satan and Eve. What he said?
Ye shall not surely die.
You're not going to die. That's Satan, you know.
For God doth know.
That's pride now. Getting at her pride. God knows.
That in the day ye eat thereof.
The day you eat of it.
Then your eyes shall be open.
And you shall be wise as God. Watch here.
And ye shall.
Wait, brother. Stop. You see, it's pride, you know. Oh, I get it now. I get it now. That's Eve, you know, when Satan said that. I get it now. And because God no want us to be wise like him, why tell us not to eat it? Satan has opened my eyes. No, Sasha, Satan, shut your eyes. He's still shutting our eyes. Satan shut our eyes in the value we put on material things. We put that before our Christianity, before the church, before our relationship with God. The amount of commitment, sacrifice we make for material things, if we ever give one-tenth of that commitment to the church, to the cause of Christ, we would so much be better Christian and accomplish more for Christ. Satan got at their pride. God didn't want you to be as wise as he is. By telling you not to eat of that tree, God was depriving you of wisdom. What is the point? Satan undermined through doubt on the word of God. That's why this vacation by the school will be so important. It will be showing that there is no book in the world like God's book, the Bible. And you know what? It is infallible because its main source is God, who is himself infallible. Just one more passage, quick, and the lesson is yours. Exodus chapter 5, verse 2.
And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?
You see again, it's the same thing, you know. For Satan, it was what said, is for Pharaoh, it was who obey his voice. That's the problem. Why should I listen to whomever you represent, Moses? Satan is still playing that trick. Why should I listen to the Bible? I feel I can be saved without baptism. You better don't feel like that. Because you know what, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the Almighty God who tells us that baptism is a must for salvation today, is the God who will judge you and me. Satan is still undermining God's word in these forms. In the same way, he undermined confidence in God's word in the garden, the first time that man sinned against God. In the same way, in the case of the Pharaoh of Egypt, who is God that I should obey him? That's why men want to throw the Bible one side. They do not want to yield to its demand, not realizing that Jesus Christ said the word that he has spoken will judge us on the last day. If you're here today, you have listened to this lesson on the authority of God's word. Remember the passage in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through verse 13, that it is the Holy Spirit of God that has brought to the apostle the things that the Almighty God wants us to know, to understand, to believe, and to live by. And that was talk about the will of God. Today you can become a Christian the Bible's way. And if you're a child of God who is slipping, little by little you are getting weak, backsliding, or you have backslidden, the Almighty God always gives us the moment that we have to do what is right. Not a moment, a hour from now, or a day from now. God gives us now. Are you here today? You're not a Christian? You have never become a Christian the Bible's way. That is by believing in the truth of the gospel, repenting of your sin, confessing faith in Jesus Christ, and getting immersed, baptized for the removal of your sin. If you have never done that, wait. You might have gotten some religious teaching, but not the proper teaching. Because Satan is active today, undermining the word of God in churches. So Jesus Christ, have you to listen to his word today. We are here to help you. And Jesus Christ in love, in mercy, is asking you to submit your life to him. Through faith in him, through repenting of your sin, a willingness to confess by your mouth the name of Christ, that he's God's son, and a willingness to submit to his will in getting baptized for the removal of your sin. Let us stand.